thank you, Ninny. Thank you to Ninny and Peter for inviting me along to Hebron. And my family and I have lived in Backwell for about 15 years now, so we're neighbours. And I can't believe it's only today that I've been along to Hebron for the first time. So it's a real privilege to be here. And Ninny said, we're part of Woodlands Church in Bristol, and we moved here in 2000 to Bristol, and have been here ever since, and just gradually moved out. Was a primary school teacher, and then, yeah, children's minister. And over the kind of like last, quite a significant amount of time, I just think my husband and I met. We have four children as well, and just a growing kind of sense of kind of God's prompting around. You know, we were traveling in to be part of church in Bristol, and we still very much are. But I think also with lockdown and things, there was just this real kind of actually, who are our neighbours? Who are the people that we do life with in our localities? And out of this kind of like, there was just a growing kind of vision, I think, to kind of like have also a local expression of church. And so we started a year ago a monthly, we meet on third Sundays, and it's just an all-age kind of cafe-style church which meets in a local primary school. And it's great to be sharing with you about prayer today, because I just on reflection have just seen so much of kind of God at work and going ahead of us. And as we kind of started something new, and it was a little bit kind of scary, and didn't know who was going to turn up on the first morning, and just kind of seeing this kind of community of people of all ages and stages of faith and no faith grow has just been really encouraging. So that's just a bit about us. And next time I'll come with my family, because it's that would be really nice. I'd love you to meet them all as well. Yeah, so we're just thinking today about Jesus being prayerful, which is a really exciting idea. The idea that kind of Jesus, who we worship and is the Son of God, and prayed and modeled for us how to pray. And just even being here just a short time this morning, it's obvious and evident that prayer is so important to each one of us. And that's just lovely, just coming into that culture where prayer is part of who you are and part of church. So for each one of us, I was thinking, you know, what does prayer look like for us? And you've had a prayer kind of event where you've invited people to the church, and I don't know if for each one of you, whether it's something that comes easy or is something that is challenging. Have there been like peaks and troughs in that kind of like prayer journey? I think I prayed probably for the first time that I remember when I was about 9 years old, and my dad helped me with that prayer as I kind of asked Jesus to be part of my life. And that was a really kind of like memorable moment. And I remember going into school the next day, walking into the playground, and just for the first time just feeling like I wasn't alone, that God was with me. And it was a very, it was just a very poignant memory for me. And I was reflecting how there have been times through my life when there have been people who've had to help me in prayer, whether that's a friend or a mentor, a parent, and they've helped me, but like go deeper in my prayer journey with God. But I also, one of the things that Dave Mitchell, who leads Woody's church family, talks about is this idea of a secret history. And I love that, that it's something we can do corporately, but it's also, there's a secret history that we each have between us and God. And he loves that. He loves spending time with us, and it's a place we can go and listen and know God's voice. So if we could have the first PowerPoint. Is it working? Oh. Don't worry. It's okay. I'll just carry on talking. They're just words in terms of. So I'd love us to look today at John 17. So it's probably one of Jesus's longest recorded prayers, and I'd love together just to draw out some thoughts which I hope will encourage and inspire us to pray more. It's an amazing passage, and there is a lot in there. I'm not going to try and draw out every single thing, and there is lots that God will probably speak to you about through this prayer too, but I think I'd love to just draw out four main points actually around that. But before I do that, I was speaking to Ninny in the week, and she was saying that you were talking about Jesus is committed recently, and I think that really struck me. So if we just look at John 17, it's an amazing passage, but there's a wider narrative in John's gospel around commitment to preparing the disciples for the next step. So this prayer comes just before Jesus is arrested and is going to be crucified. And there is just the chapters coming leading up to John 17, for me, just permeate like Jesus's like comfort and encouragement and care and preparation for the disciples, ending with prayer. In John 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet and models servanthood and putting others first. He comforts his disciples when they're confused and worried about the fact that Jesus is talking about leaving them. And he promises that there is a place prepared in his Father's house. Jesus also promises the Holy Spirit. He talks to them about how they are to remain in him. He is the vine and we are the branches. He says to them, I am the way, the truth and the life. So there is so much encouragement leading up to this chapter. And I just want us to think about that, just this kind of idea of Jesus being committed to preparing the disciples. And part of that is praying for them. And for us, it's praying for us too. So there are four P's, which probably comes from my teaching days, but it also just helps me just to kind of like help us to focus on four different areas which I'd like to draw out of this chapter. And the first one is posture. So the very first verse of chapter 17, and it says, after Jesus had said this, so he had just said, so the verse that preceded this, I think is just like, whenever we're praying or we're feeling anything, it's just these words that he says in John 16, in this world you will have trouble. He's not pretending that it's not going to be difficult, but he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. So we are praying, when we are praying to Jesus who has overcome the world. Anyway, so at the beginning of John 17, he says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed. Now, for me, just that looking towards heaven, that looking up, just reminded me about our posture in prayer, that we can take different postures, can't we? Like sometimes that there can be lying down, there can be face down, there can be sitting, there can be walking. Like Rachel said, we can be in lots of different places, taking different postures. It might be arrow prayers in the middle of a swimming competition. It might be on our knees in desperation because we don't know what to do and we need God's intervention. There are different postures, but I like this one of looking upwards, that Jesus looks upwards towards heaven and he prays. And there are different times when this happens in different places. Before Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, that you always hear me. And yeah, Jesus in this chapter, he addresses God as Father, as true God, as Holy Father, as righteous. And so I think for each one of us in learning how to pray from Jesus, this is a really good place to start, that we acknowledge who God is and we look up. Because I don't know about you, but I find it very easy to look down. I find it easy to look inwards and be overwhelmed with feelings of anxiety or worry, or just maybe I'm angry or cross about something or distracted, and it kind of makes your eyes look inwards. And here Jesus is looking upwards to heaven, to his Father. And it reminds me, I love the verse and in Psalm 121 where it says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I mean, what a way to start. I lift up my eyes to the heavens where God is, and acknowledging that the God that we pray to is the maker of heaven and earth. And in Psalm 123, verse 1 again, I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. So there's this kind of idea of posture. And I'm not saying that there isn't other postures, but this is one which can be really helpful. And even if it's not like a physically looking up, there's a kind of like looking up to who God is. Thank you. So the next P is permission. Now, I think one of the kind of overriding encouragements of this chapter is this this idea that it's okay to ask. I was like, I often, you know, when, I don't know about you, you guys are probably more experienced in prayer, but I think sometimes it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to feel like I'm always coming to God with like my requests, my shopping list of the things that I need God to do. But this chapter, Jesus is showing us that it is okay to ask. There's a quote, if you go on to the next slide. Sorry, that's a bit small, but Dallas Willard, I don't know if anyone knows of him, but he wrote The Divine Conspiracy, and he writes about prayer, and it's just really interesting what he says. Just generally about Jesus in the Gospels. It says, the picture of prayer that emerges from the life and teaching of Jesus in the Gospels is quite clear. Basically, it is one of asking, requesting things from God. And like Rachel said at the beginning, when the children were in, you know, Jesus asked for himself, and he asked for the believers, and he asked for those that would believe as well. The Lord's Prayer that we prayed this morning is a petitionary prayer. It's an asking prayer. We're asking for God's kingdom. We're asking for daily bread. We're asking him to forgive us, lead us, deliver us. In all those things, we're asking God to do something and to be at work. In Matthew 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He wants us, God our Father wants to come us to come to him like a child, coming to a parent or a carer. And we are to come to God our Father, and he wants us to ask of him. And Richard Foster, who I have a book on prayer, which is very, very old, but I did read it a long, long time ago. And in that, it's interesting. He says, like, petition is not a lower form of prayer. It is our staple diet. So it's kind of like, you know, when you think, oh, I need to be, you know, praying these big kind of highfalutin prayers that are about the world, or kind of like, but we have to start with us and what's going on for us, because God is interested and he cares about that. And Dallas Willard also writes that prayer is simply talking to God about what we are doing together. And I love this picture of relationship between us and God. It's a conversational talk and walk, and where requests will naturally come up as we walk together. And I just love that idea that prayer is kind of involving God. It's kind of like we are doing life together. We are doing faith together. We are sharing our faith together. And it is okay to share with God our personal concerns and God cares too, that our concerns should coincide with his. And interestingly, Willard also says, the circle of our interests will inevitably grow in the largeness of God's love. So the more we spend time with God, the more we talk and we pray, he will expand our desire in our heart to be praying for the wider things that are happening. It will just naturally happen. It won't be that we carry on just kind of praying for our kind of like concerns. So the third thing, so we've had posture and we've had it's okay to ask. We have permission to pray and ask for things. And the third thing is petition. So just looking at chapter 17, what is it that Jesus is asking for? And he has looked up to heaven. And then the second part of that very first verse of chapter 17, he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your God, your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And on its own, this can sound, it doesn't sound necessarily like a posture of humility. It sounds like Jesus is asking for elevation. But as we know, Jesus is very aware of what this being glorified is going to entail. And it echoes the words earlier in John 12, where Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. But what this meant was that Jesus was speaking about his death on the cross and his subsequent resurrection. And this wasn't an easy being glorified. It says, he goes on to say in John 12, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. His petition, so Jesus's petition, his request is not to be saved from having to be crucified on a cross, to be glorified by skirting round the sacrifice on the cross. In the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 22, it gives us another kind of picture of the anguish that kind of was overwhelming Jesus. It says that Jesus says, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And Luke accounts that an angel appeared to strengthen Jesus as he was in anguish and prayed with sweats like drops of blood falling to the ground. So there is a request for God to glorify Jesus through this sacrifice. He is not asking to be saved from being crucified, but he is instead asking that through the difficult path that he was about to follow, God's glory will be known. And this is really key, and it's fitting that we should kind of share in communion a bit later on, because it's remembering what Jesus has done in being glorified. So we have posture, and we have permission to pray, and we have petition. We asking for different things. And so first of all, Jesus asks for himself to be glorified, and through that for God to be glorified. And secondly, he prays for the believers. So he prays for those, he prays on behalf of his disciples. And this is kind of called like an intercessory prayer, because he's praying on behalf, and it's also sometimes called the high priestly prayer. This idea that Jesus is praying as a priest on our behalf. And what does he pray? What does he ask? So he's asked for himself, and now he's asking for others. He's praying for his disciples, for protection, so that they may be one as we are one in verse 11. So there's an emphasis on unity. As Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are unified, there is a unity for us to be part of too, in remaining in Jesus. He prays that though he is going to leave the world, the disciples won't be. So he is asking for protection from God, from the evil one. So he asks for protection, and he asks also to be sanctified, for them to be sanctified by the truth. And he says, your word is truth. I sanctify myself, Jesus says, so that they too may be sanctified. Now, it's quite a kind of big, kind of like interesting word to use, and we don't necessarily use that in kind of everyday language, but it basically, it means to be set apart for like God's special purpose, holy and consecrated through Jesus. In the same way Jesus talks about the work he was sent to do on earth, there's a kind of like the next step. There is a kind of preparing and praying for the disciples in their role, and that they need to be sanctified. They need to be kind of made holy through Jesus. And that idea of kind of like each of the disciples being a minister in the same way that Jesus ministered in his time on earth, there's a kind of commissioning, and I love what it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5 and 9, where it just emphasizes that kind of sanctification and that kind of holy set apartness that we have the privilege to be part of through Jesus. So Peter says, "You also, the living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy, to be a holy priesthood." And in verse 9, "But you are chosen people, each one of us, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." There's a real kind of like missional kind of thread throughout John 17 of this kind of, we have been sanctified, we have been chosen, we've been called, and then there's the amazing gospel that we are to also share out, that it's not something for us just to keep to ourselves. Which leads us nicely onto the last thing that Jesus requests for. Jesus prays for. There's a verse, I think. The reason I chose this chapter was around this verse. It really struck me recently, just reading it again, and around how Jesus prays for himself, for the disciples, and then those that will believe. So it says in John 17, verse 20, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." I just love that idea that like more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for those that will believe. So he has already prayed for those people that we know that don't know Jesus yet, that they will believe. And I just find that so encouraging that he goes before us. And I love his confidence in the disciples and us, that people would share the gospel message and people would believe, and that many more would. We've thought about Pentecost recently, and that was an example of an answer to prayer, wasn't it? So Jesus prayed that more people would believe the message, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the message was heard in all these different languages. It empowered Peter to be bold in sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus for the first time in a clear and powerful way because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The same person who had denied Jesus three times was able to stand up in front of thousands of people and declare who Jesus was. And it says that thousands became believers that day. Jesus goes on to pray that all those who will come to believe may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. And there is a request here. And again, there's the unity of Jesus and God. And there is also the unity of the believers in God. And there's the unity of those that will believe too. It's a really important thing here. There is a request here from Jesus for unity, which will convey God and Jesus to the world. And that has come up in prayers and things that have been thought about and prayed about this morning. and kind of going into a meeting later to kind of like be unified in next steps and what God is like saying to each one of you is really relevant. It says that, you know, through the unity of the new believers, the world will know God, who loves the world as he loves Jesus. So there's lots of stuff in there. There's the posture, how we come to pray. There is the permission to ask. And there are the things that Jesus asks for himself, for others, and those that will believe. So finally, the fourth P is preparation. And we kind of touched on that at the beginning, this idea that Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel of John, was preparing his disciples for the next step, for when he was not going to be physically there anymore. And I just love the idea that this chapter talks and reminds us of Jesus's preparation for each one of us. In the same way Jesus prepared his disciples for his departure. And he says in verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. So Jesus prepares the way for each one of us too. His glory through his death and resurrection has made a way for us to know the only true God and to receive his grace and forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. We read that Jesus has prayed ahead of us for his disciples and those that came to believe, for protection and to be made holy. There is a priestly ministry appointed to each one of us, and we are each one of us sanctified through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. In John 17, verse 18, in the Message version, I quite like this. It says, in the same way you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. And this mission is to share the gospel message of Jesus. And I just, in terms of that preparation for each one of us, he has gone ahead of us and prayed for all those future believers, all the people that we know in our different communities, our friends and our family. He has prepared the way and opportunities for each of us to share our faith. This kind of going ahead of us. I was just thinking this morning about a recent example of that. We got together as a kind of North Somerset. We meet once a month for like a kind of like meeting, like a gathering, and we share kind of encouraging stories about what people, you know, what God is doing in different parts of North Somerset. We have people who live in Burrington and Wraxall, Fayland, Yatton, Winscombe, lots of different. So it's really lovely, encouraging way of just kind of hearing how God is kind of at work in our different communities. And we feel like, as Woody's local, that our next step is to run an Alpha course. It seems right that we kind of like, our vision is about building community but exploring faith. And we all kind of were talking and praying about doing an Alpha course, and just lots of us have been really touched in our own lives or even become Christians through doing Alpha. And so we prayed. We just said, thank you, God, that you go ahead of us, that you are preparing the way for us to do an Alpha course, because we had no venue. We don't have like a fixed abode. So it was kind of like, God, where in North Somerset are we going to run this Alpha course? And Coffee One is in Nelsey, and historically in Henley's there's a Coffee One, and they've been very open to kind of like Woodlands church events happening there. And so I was kind of like, right, okay, they're a good place to start because there's been an openness. And I sent an email, I'd left a phone message, and I hadn't heard anything. I thought, right, I'm just going to have to walk into the cafe and just probably come across as a bit weird, but let's just give it a... So anyway, I was like really, really nervous. And then, but of course, as soon as you ask for the manager, the poor lady behind the counter was like, oh no, you've come to complain. And I was just like, so I relayed it all to her. Like, we were looking for a place to run a kind of 10-week discussion course. And she said, oh, the manager's on her lunch break. So I was like, okay. So I went away, walked around Waitrose praying, and then went back in again. And I was just blown away by just an example of how God goes ahead of us. So I talked to this, the manager of Coffee One, who is called Sarah, and she's just moved from Costa like 2 months before, and she's very much, she wants to build community. She took a flyer for Woody's Local. She said yes to everything that I was like, can we do it now, then? Can we do it in the evening? Would you serve coffee and tea and cakes? And she was just like, yes, yes, yes. Really just open. And I drove back to Backwell just like, thank you, God. You already have the plans ahead of us. It's he's prepared the way. So I just thought it was a really good example of how we can just trust, can't we? Because we know that God is praying ahead and preparing the way for each one of us. And just finally, before we kind of have a time of response, it was just to note that this all kind of stems from love, like God's love for each one of us. Jesus's ministry was compelled by love and compassion for his disciples. And out of love, we are to follow in Jesus's footsteps and pray for ourselves, for our friends and for family and for the wider world, which is in desperate need, isn't it, of God's power and presence. And so just this last quote by Richard Foster in his book on prayer, which kind of just reminds us, it's nothing groundbreaking, but it's just kind of like, oh, why do we need to pray? Because if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. And intercession, praying on behalf of others, is a way of loving others. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of share with you those kind of like four P's and kind of thoughts around John 17. And I just love the fact that every time you can come to a passage, or it can be well known, it can be really vague, but God continues to speak through and in kind of fresh revelation. And I hope some of that is of encouragement to you. I've just finished studying with WTC, which is like Westminster Theological Centre. And so I've had the privilege of like 2 years of like with people from all over the country kind of studying kind of like theology and God's word. And it's just exciting, isn't it, that God wants to speak to us through the Bible. So I'd love us just to, as we close, just to kind of like have a time of response, kind of just practically and prayerfully bring those things that we've been thinking about to God. And it's just a private thing between that secret history, just between us and God. But I just invite you just to each close your eyes. And as we close our eyes, we want to look up to God. And as we look up to God, what do we see? There may be a picture or a sense of God's presence. Perhaps there's a word that comes to mind of who God is. That he's faithful, loving, good. And in that posture of looking up to God, in that place with God, let's be honest and open with the things we want to ask God for, because he wants us to ask him. So firstly, what today do you need to ask God for yourself? Just take a few minutes to mention one specific thing. And secondly, is there also a request that you have for one of your friends or family member who does have a faith, who is a Christian, who is a believer? And bring that request to God. And lastly, Is there a friend or someone in your family or someone that you know who doesn't know Jesus yet, who is yet to meet, but who Jesus has already prayed for? What would you like to ask for them today? Lord God, we thank you for this time together this morning, and we thank you that you want us to come to you, Lord God, as our Father and as a child who has things on our mind for ourselves and for others that we know and those that don't believe yet. Thank you that you hear our prayers and that through Jesus we know how to pray. Thank you that you've set an example for us. And thank you that you want us to come to you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you go before us and prepare and pray the way. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the way and the truth and the life. So we each of us in our hearts, we offer our prayers of petition that you may be glorified and be known in the world. And we pray for unity and ask that this will be a light that will shine in our communities to those that don't know you yet. Amen.